In our remaining minutes together tonight, I want us to look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. I want to finish, Lord willing, this evening what we started last Wednesday night. I want to read beginning at verse 1 through verse 10 of 2 Timothy chapter 4 as we consider this little phrase, gone to Thessalonica, gone to Thessalonica. Verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love is appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Let's pray. Father, in these few minutes, I pray that we might be able to see the heart and soul of the Apostle Paul as he pleads with Timothy. He doesn't want to lose him. He wants to be sure that Timothy stays right on the right path, doing what's right, honoring the Lord, and not follow the example of Demas, who, loving this present world, had gone to Thessalonica. I pray, Father, that you would help us to understand your word tonight, understand the challenge, and I pray, Father, that we might have a heart for thee. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read the Phillips translation of verse 10. Because it delivers a little more clearly the heart desire of Paul as he communicates with his servant Timothy. He loves him dearly. In Philippians, he called him a son in the faith. And he was burdened for him. He wanted him to stay on the straight and narrow. He wanted him to come to him soon because he had already witnessed the heartbreaking failure of Demas. Listen as I read Phillips' translation of 2 Timothy 4:10. Demas, loving the present world, I fear, has left me and gone to Thessalonica. The word gone there is a very interesting word in the Greek language. It's actually two words put together. Epo, ruthe, which means to transfer over to. Let me give you the definitions here. This is from Dr. Custer's book on some of the words of the New Testament. He writes, to pursue the journey on which one has entered, to continue on one's journey, to depart from life, to follow one, that is, become his adherent, to lead or order one's life. The idea there, to go over to continue on the pathway that one's heart was already going. That's the idea that's given here. You know, gone is a sad word. It really is. I think about the time that my brother and sister and I found several little kittens under our neighbor's storage building. We could hear them crying, and the mother had died, found her body out in the street. And so we brought all the little kittens home, and we named them after all the characters of the Peanuts cartoon strip. We had Charlie Brown, and we had Lucy, and we had them all named to their names. And we were feeding them. We all took our turns feeding all those. We were talking about this the other day. And one by one, they began to die. And we were so upset. You know, we were trying to be mamas for those little kitty cats, but they had parvo. And so each one died, and I remember getting up each morning, and we would run in there to the room, and we'd see one lifeless kitty cat. And so we went out there, and we would bury it. We had a tree that we buried them by, until finally the last one was gone. And there were all, I think there were six of them, right? Were five or six. All of them were buried right side by side. You know what that was for us kids? It was a lesson in death. Those little kitty cats that we loved and we cared for and took the little eyedropper. And we would take those kitty cats and hold them, and they would have their mouths open, and we were putting that in there, but they had a disease that we didn't know about. And I can remember we got up that last morning. I think Charlie Brown was the last one that finally died. And so we took Charlie out, and we buried Charlie with the rest of them. And they were all gone. Okay? They were gone. No more cats. We took the box out, and I remember taking it out, old cardboard box that we had, and we took it out and put it on. There was some finality to it. The box that carried those little kitty cats, we put it in the back of my dad's truck, and it was off to the dump. And, you know, it was kind of sad, that word gone. And the Apostle Paul carried that word in his heart, and by pen of inspiration, he put that down. We have it translated in our King James Bibles, departed to, gone to Thessalonica. His heart was broken. It was a young man that he had poured his heart into. But what the Apostle Paul did not know about was that in this young man's heart, there was a pull to Thessalonica. And the pull was this: he loved this present world. Thessalonica, I shared last week, was one of the very few cities in the Roman Empire that was considered to be a free city. They were allowed to have their own constitution. They were allowed to choose their own rulers. It was a free city among the... Well, now, they had a few Roman soldiers that were there, and it was under the dominion of the Roman Empire, but they were free. And as a result of that, there were excesses that were there. The culture was clear to be seen. Paganism, all kinds of... There was a very open city, open-minded, all types of religions. And Demas, in his heart, wanted to go to Thessalonica. Now remember, we said that on the second missionary journey, Demas was with Paul, and they went through Thessalonica twice. They went through, went to another city, and when they came back around and came back through Thessalonica, Demas stayed, and Paul and them continued on to go back. Demas stayed because that's where his heart was. He had gone to Thessalonica. And Paul here says, I fear he has left me and gone to Thessalonica. There is a melancholy air about this whole verse. He pours out his heart to Timothy, preach the word. Be instant in season, Timothy. Out of season, you be faithful. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when there will be those who will not endure. Who do you think he's thinking about? As he's penning those words, he's thinking about Demas. There's another one that he thinks about over here later on. Alexander the Coopersmith caused him a lot of grief, caused him a lot of pain. He's thinking about those that did not endure sound doctrine. Why? Because their heart was somewhere else. Their heart was down there in Thessalonica. That's where he wanted to be. And whenever he had left that first time and he went with Paul, the tug of Thessalonica was there. And when they traveled back through, Demas just kind of traveled off from Paul and that group, and he went his own way into Thessalonica. The next morning, Paul got up to leave. Where's Demas? No one seemed to know. Paul says, I fear that he's gone over to... That's the idea of the Greek word there. He's gone over to Thessalonica to absorb himself in the culture that he loves, having loved this present world. I want you to look at the name Demas tonight. This is an interesting word. Again, from Stuart Custer's book on names of the New Testament, Demas means ambitious, studious of the favor of people. Isn't that interesting? Studious of the favor of people. Popular. Enjoying the favor of the people. Now, we know from our study of the Old Testament and the New Testament that names in those days were very important. You know, today we name people by what's popular at the time. It's amazing. There are some names right now that are extremely popular. And so everybody's naming their kids that. But today we have some of the strangest names. I call out names, and Pastor Watt calls out names. We've had some others come out there and help us call out names. I want to tell you something. Some of them have tongue twisters. You look down at it, and you look back up again, you pull the coach aside. How do you say that name? And they look at it and say, I don't know how to say it. They've had them all season long. And I'm up there, and we put the microphone up there, and we take a crack at it. You know? We've had some of them, and some of them will come up a year after we called them out wrong the last year, said, you called my name out wrong last year. And I said, well, how do you say your name? And then they'll rattle it off, and I'm like, I'm never going to be able to remember that. When we get to go through 200 names and finally get to that one, and then I'll say it wrong, and they'll laugh at me. I have a girl, a lady. She used to be out here in the program. She's back. She played back in the late 80s, early 90s. She has her daughter playing softball program, and she came up. Her name is Jana. And I always called her Jana, the way her name is spelled. And she came up to me this year out at the spring program, said, you remember me? I said, yeah. And I said, Jana. And she said, there you did. You did it again. 25 years later, you did it again. And I laughed, said, no, I know it's Jana. We had a good laugh about that. She said, you never got it right on all the years that I played ball up here. And then I said, well, I was just having fun with you. Actually, I didn't know how to say your name. But, you know, you do that kind of stuff. You have these names. In the New Testament era and Old Testament times, names meant something. Parents were communicating. How many of you know somebody that named their child Ichabod? What does that communicate? Or Judas? Haman? Adolf? Yeah. Immediately your mind went to negative, 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 negative. You don't hear people in Milton naming their kids Adolf. Now, they may name them some other weird name, but they don't name it Adolf because they don't want their child associated with that man who was evil. Demas, though, interesting name. Studious of the favor of the people. You know what that is? The favor of the people is part of the culture. Every advertising agency in the world seeks the favor of the people. Every Hollywood movie, every magazine that gets printed, every radio program is geared to, and television, is geared to one theme. The favor of the people. What do? They're taking ratings all the time to see who's up and who's down. And a program lives or dies based upon the favor of the people. The demos. The demos. That's the idea that's behind this man's name. He loved the world, the world system, the culture. And he wanted his place in it. And that's why he was gone to Thessalonica. Folks, I hope that we can get some of the heart of Paul here. He was broken. He was broken as he uttered these words. And there was other young men that he was thinking about. He mentions them in this same verse, 10. Cretans has gone to Galatia and Titus unto Dalmatia. Now these two men were good men. They had been directed there to go and serve. Titus, oh, he was a fine young man. He was a Gentile. These men, though, had gone. He was concerned about them, too. But one in particular. And by the way, this second epistle of Timothy here is known as the swan song of Paul. It was the last letter that he wrote before he was executed. And you can hear the heart of a father crying out to his son, son, I don't want to lose you. I don't want to lose you. There's a siren song of Thessalonica that's calling you to come. Don't go. Don't go. You follow the Lord. You be faithful. In order to preach the Word, you have to what? Know the Word. Keep your heart in the Word. Be instant in season and out of season. Well, that is such an important phrase, especially for preachers. You know, to be instant anytime is not easy, is it? To always be there to respond rightly in any given particular situation, there's in season and there's out of season. Times that you don't want to respond. And yet He said, you be faithful. You be faithful. Why? Because He loved him. And He wanted him to follow the Lord. I think every burden of every parent in this room tonight and those that listen by way of the internet or radio, the heartbeat of a parent is, I want to keep my kids. Do I hear an amen? We want to keep our kids. We don't want to see them go to the devil. We don't want to see them to depart into the world and go to Thessalonica. And that's why Paul said, I fear for Demas. Having loved this present world, gone to Thessalonica. I pray for our young people. I pray for our children. I pray for these kids that come to camp every day. Some of you will never meet them. And some of them, we only see them once a summer. Some of them we watch grow up and get older. And, they'll come back to camp for a week or two here and there. We get to see them. But yeah, I pray for them. They're going to live somewhere forever. But wouldn't it be wonderful to see them rescued from Thessalonica? See them rescued? God can do that work. And we need to pray for our young people. We need to pray for our children. Lord, don't let them go to Thessalonica. Don't let them love this culture so much that they walk away, and as the Scripture says, they are gone. They are gone. They're gone over to. It has a sound of finality, doesn't it? And it creates fear in the heart of those who love them. And we need to love our children. And we need to love them biblically. Amen? Not in the world's definition of love, this schmaltzy, mushy type stuff. We're talking about a kind of love that gets on your knees at night and prays for them and pours out your heart to them to try to keep them on the straight and narrow. Oh, that's what we need to do as parents and as grandparents. Don't ever quit. Don't ever quit. Be faithful. Be like the Apostle Paul. Timothy, come soon. Come shortly. He wanted to see him. He wanted to make sure that he didn't go where? Down to Thessalonica. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, what a challenge from your word, from the heart of the Apostle Paul. Lord, it rings down through the centuries, the echo of a father's heart for his son, spiritual son, Timothy. He'd already lost one boy, Demas, who loved the culture, loved the world system. And he said, I'm going to have Thessalonica. And he walked away from truth. He walked away from God's servant. And he got what he wanted. But sadly, he lost what he had. I pray that you'd work in the hearts and lives of our boys and girls and our young people. Lord, the pull of this world is very, very strong. It'll pull young people away from church, pull young people away from thee, pull young people away from what's right. And Lord, we so desire to be able to see all of our young people in heaven, to see them singing praises to Thee, our Savior, forever and ever. But we also know, Father, that the pull of this world and the pull of Thessalonica is ever present. I pray that Your Holy Spirit would work in hearts to convict of sin and to draw precious souls unto Yourself. And I pray that You'd help us as parents and as grandparents to never give up. Be faithful in prayer. Be like Job, who constantly went before Thee and put forward the sacrifice of prayer, lest his children would curse God or turn away from Thee. Help us to be like that. And we pray Your blessings upon each family that's present here tonight. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.